Okay, we are in Romans chapter 1 this morning, and I pray everybody had a wonderful Christmas, and looking ahead to a new year, right? But anyway, we left off last week with Paul the Apostle writing to the Christians in Rome and beginning to talk about the wrath of God. And of course, we talked about that a little bit last week, how, you know, we'd love to always talk about, you know, grace and God's love and all that stuff, but wrath is another part of his character. He has to be. He has to be. You know, but just because he's wrathful and makes judgment doesn't mean he's loving, right? Correct? He could just be wrathful because of our sin. But so we're going to talk about God's wrath a little bit. In verse 21, he said, speaking of a people, a sinful people, he said, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Okay? So although many people believe in God, right? We all know people who believe in God, or we grew up, most of us, believing in God. Most don't really see him as Lord. There's a difference, right? Between just believing in God and God being the Lord of our lives. It's a big difference. You know, again, I grew up, many of you grew up, believing that there was a God. And, you know, he was up there doing his thing or wherever. I was down here doing my thing. I believed in him, but there was no connection. He did what he was doing. I was doing what I was doing, thinking that I was a good person. But what happens is we can, if we look back now, we can see how shallow that type of faith is. Right? And many people just believe in God, and that's a good start, right? But that's not it. You know, there's a relationship to be had. But what happens is, and with this scripture here in verse 21, as he talks about, because although they knew God, right, people believed in God, they did not glorify him as God or as Lord of their lives. Right? Certainly, God wasn't the Lord of my life, or else I wouldn't have been living the way I was. And Paul says that here. But what happens is, if you can think back, you know, towards your previous life or some other people, I mean, you ever hear people say, well, I don't think God would send people to hell. I don't think this about God. I don't think that. And so what people do is, or maybe we did at one time, was create a God in our own minds that agrees with what we believe. We lower his standards to what we believe. Right? You know, people say, I don't believe God would send anybody to hell. Well, that's your thoughts. That's not him, because we see in the scriptures that's not true. That, you know, it is true that, but he doesn't send them. People go on their own volition. And so even some Christians do this today. They believe in God, but they believe that God doesn't have a problem with them sleeping with their boyfriend or girlfriend because of the love that they have for one another or other types of relationships. And I had one believer tell me a number of years ago that, and this is a longtime believer, that when pot becomes legal, if it becomes legal, it's okay for Christians to do that. I'm like, what? Where do you get that from? I mean, does it say marijuana in the scriptures? No. But it talks about not being drunk, right, with wine? And obviously marijuana is a mind-altering drug. You know, and I would say, I mean, So God was waiting. God is waiting for that law to change for him to give his approval? That makes no sense. God is not dependent on our laws. I mean, this is common sense. But again, this is what he's saying here. They became futile in their thoughts. And these are people that they knew God, it says. They became futile in their thoughts about him. Why? Because they don't know him. I didn't know him at one time. I was out partying. I wasn't bothering nobody. Just having a good time. What's wrong with that? I mean, I could spend the rest of the morning about that. But you see how we reduce God's standards to our own and make a God in our own minds. And that's why Paul says in the second half, you know, nor were they thankful, became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And that's how so many people believe, like maybe at one time I did, maybe you, that you were good enough to get into heaven. And then you read in the scripture that nobody deserves getting into heaven. Talk about being far off, like, because of God's word. Okay. And so verse 22, and he says, professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. So man has foolishly turned God into every type of animal that you can imagine in different ways. I mean, in other religions, they've turned God right into a being with more than one head, a woman, a cow, whatever it is. But how can you have a relationship with a statue, right? In the Christian religion, people have done that, right? You know, statues of Jesus or Mary or the apostles. I mean, I can imagine Paul knowing that there's a statue of him somewhere. It's like, what? He'd flip out. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And these people who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So Paul's talking about how God allows those who reject him to get deeper into sin. Is that mean? No. Because many times, instead of immediate judgment, God waits patiently for the sinner to repent. I don't know about you guys. Did you look back? Do you think God gave you many chances instead of judging you right then and there? Thank God he doesn't do that. No? Anybody get second chances, a third chances, you know, in your life to turn your life around and seek him? Absolutely. And thank God for that. And many people, again, I don't know everybody's story. Maybe, you know, how many people have hit rock bottom and then came to the Lord? He doesn't want that to happen, but you hit rock bottom, you cry out to the Lord, he's going to open arms. Amen for that, right? And he answered people and answers people that hit rock bottom because he doesn't want anyone to perish and go to hell. Really? We're talking wicked people who've done wicked things. And if they repent and turn to him, he'll forgive them. They may not get out of prison. That's a consequence of their sin. But isn't that hard to fathom? How a murderer could go to heaven? But we have the perfect example in the scriptures. You know who that is? The guy who wrote Romans, the Apostle Paul. He was a murderer of Christians, seeking to put them in prison, men and women. And yet God used him like no one else. Like no one else. And God is still using his letters, right, today, this very moment. A murderer. So, you know, it makes us look at things differently as we see God's heart. But let's turn to Psalm 103. Excuse me. In the middle of our Bibles, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 8. And it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Can we relate to that? Absolutely. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Has he? No. If God dealt with us according to our sins, would we be here now? No way. Who knows where we would be, right? You know, some of us don't even want to think about that. Where would we be without God's grace and mercy? Whew, give you goosebumps to think about where that could be. He says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Psalm 103, again, verse 12. And he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are what? Dust. I mean, this is incredible. It's all right there. How far is the east from the west? Just go, right? Once you go east, you're going to come west and then back to east. There's no ending. That's how God's grace and mercy is. And let's turn to one more scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, towards the back of your Bibles. Second Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And he says, the Lord is, this is Peter writing this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. You know, these are people like saying, like, when is he coming? They've been saying that for years and years and years and years and years, right? People say that today. The Lord ain't coming back. It's been 2,000 years since he was here. But it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right? So we're waiting on the Lord. Many of us, we want to go today. But God is being long-suffering. There's other people that need to be saved. So on one hand, we want to be with the Lord face-to-face for whatever reason. But we have to think about the others that aren't saved. We can't just say, well, now I'm saved. Let's go. How many times when I was driving a train, people jokingly, but you know, you have a crowded train, whatever, and people would get on, they'd see me, and they'd say, okay, we can go now. Right? So we just get saved now. Okay, we can go now. Right? I mean, we have to keep that in mind as other people to be saved and have a heart for them like he had a heart for us. and be long-suffering with them as he was long-suffering with us. Amen? And he's still long-suffering with us. But God will not be mocked. And there is a time when he gives the sinner over to their sin. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. You know, because human nature can be like, well, if God is all merciful and all forgiving, then no matter what I do, he's going to forgive me. But that's taking advantage of God's grace, and he ain't gonna put up with that. Right? God's not coming for a while, so I can party on. Party like it's 1999. Right? You know, I got time. We don't know if we have time. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Right? And that's why Paul says back in Romans, chapter 1, verse 26, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And likewise..." Now, so what is Paul talking about there? Well, he explains it a little further here if you don't know what he's talking about. "Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due." Okay. But what's happening today? It's perfectly normal. You know, man keeps moving the moral line. Right? God has his moral standards, but we keep moving them. And believe it or not, if the Lord doesn't come back for 200 years, God only knows, even maybe another 100 years, where the moral line is going to be. God only knows. And I don't want to be here for that. We see it changing every day. But Paul says when people reject God and worship the flesh, their sinful desires can lead them to abuse a natural relationship between a man and a woman. Or a husband and wife, really. And they do things against what God has created, such as homosexuality, lesbianism, and even pedophilia. And I don't know if you heard, it was on the news, something about, you know, they don't want to call people pedophiles anymore. They want to call them, or what is it, something about, you know, they're just interested in young people. Like, you know, you don't want to put that label on them. You just have an interest in children. You see what I mean? Just softening that to where it's, where's that going to go? I don't know. But for me to speak even about this here today, what I just spoke a couple minutes ago, is considered hate speech. Just reading God's word for what it is, for what he says, and I believe is considered hate speech. And even in Canada, they're cracking down on sermons. And they wanted to do that here already in Texas. Crack down on what we can say against. You know, and if I put this sermon out in social media, certain platforms can take it off because of what we're talking about here. Now, the thing is, those types of sins are types of sins. Maybe not our sins, but do we not have our own sins? Hello? Yeah. It's just another sin. I mean, again, the severity, taking that aside, but it's another sin. But yet to, you know, Christians, of course, this is something, you know, that's really, because this, how can I say this? Our sins are not so out in the open, are they? Right? Do we wear them on our sleeves? What? Would we want one day in our life, our thoughts, our actions, our speech, put up on a screen for all to see? Just one day, one 24-hour period, to put it out there in public, put it on TV, put it on Facebook. Would we want that? No. You know, so some people's sins are more out there, you know, for people to see, and it's in your face. And so that's why, you know, we're more against this. But again, it's going back to, and we're going to talk about it probably not today, you know, as Paul gets into judging people, okay, which is a pastime for many people, judging others, but not ourselves, okay, as far as different things. So again, but hear me out. I'm not saying that this is okay, but again, we said before, God doesn't love sin, but he can save a murderer, right? Yes? Yes. And he can save a homosexual or a lesbian from their sin also. Absolutely, and he's done that. And so we have to have a heart for people no matter what their sin are. And you know how hard that is? All we see on TV and all different kind of people doing all different evil things. You know, and say, no, but we have to pray for them. They're blind. And who did Jesus come for? The good people? No, because there was none. He came for the sinner. But again, when we take God out of society or out of our lives, it becomes an anything goes world. Okay, in verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Whew. That's a long sentence. So was Paul writing about then, or was he prophesying about today? He could be, right? Prophesying, well, this is normal in our society. We see these things every day. But things were going on like that back then. But Paul is saying even though those who commit these sins know or have heard about God's judgment, they do it anyway. And not only that, they like others that do those things also. Birds of a feather, right? Flock together. But in this chapter now, as we come to chapter 2, Paul talks as if God is sitting basically on a bench in a courtroom and he's judging. And while many don't believe it or understand it, the day is coming where God is going to be in that great courtroom making judgments. He's going to judge people. And here we're going to see he shows that every human being is guilty before God. Every single one. Now, I'm sure you've heard somebody say, what about the guy in the jungle who never heard of God? Right? What happens to him? My nephews were just asking me stuff like that yesterday during Christmas. But we'll talk about that in a bit. But what will God judge according to his word? Right? And he will be fair and righteous in his judgments. And so again, so as believers, followers of Christ, and going to heaven, we need to have a heart of, like God has for sinners, as hard as that is. And again, not just look at people and condemn them, but remember how patient God was with us. But it's not an easy balance because of the wickedness that is out there. But again, we talked about that in Acts with Paul. When he was on his murderous rampage, you think people, Christians, were saying, that guy, he'd make a great pastor. No. Who in their right mind would look at Paul at that time and say, yeah, he'd make a great Christian? That'd be insane, right? But God, that's what God saw. Not what he was, but what he could make him into. But again, it's also easy to look at others and shake our head with disgust when years ago we may have been in the same place doing the same things. Well, that was different, right? It was us. That was me. We were just having a good time. We're not special, right? We are now, but it's only by God's grace and mercy that we're still not there, right? We said that before. My mom used to say when I was young, how many times? She was an overly religious woman, but there but for the grace of God go I. You ever hear that? I didn't know what she was talking about. I had no idea. It was just a saying. There, but for the grace of God, go I. Boy, I know what she meant now. Because every day, right? The Bible says, God's mercies are new every day. Thank God. And his grace. I know about God's grace now. I mean, it's only by God's grace that we woke up. Right? I mean, it's only by God's mercy that I'm not in a cemetery or worse. Right? You could be in a cemetery, but you could be somewhere else after that, right? Not a good place. But again, we always want to hear about God's love and mercy and stuff, but instead of judgment. But if we don't hear about God's judgment, we're not going to be balanced in our walk with God. That's why we teach through the scriptures like this. So we got a few minutes, but Paul is going to start off by talking about people judging other people. Now, I know this is not you guys, but And if you remember at the end of chapter 1, Paul spoke of those people who in verse 29, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, deceit, evil-mindedness, and all that stuff. So in verse 1 of chapter 2, see, because Paul's letter, there was no chapter breaks. It was just a letter. These were put in later on. But in verse 1 of chapter 2, Paul writes, therefore, after he spoke about those kind of people doing those things, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. Right? We just talked about that. How can, you know, God forbid we're practicing the same things we did, but it's the same thing. Paul points out the hypocrisy of those who judge others while they are doing the same things. And again, hopefully we're not doing the same things. But judging somebody doing those things that you did is pretty close also. It's kind of the same thing. But we can judge sin for what it is, right? People say, oh, well, the Bible says you should not judge. That's not true. That's the only part of it. We are allowed to call sin for what it is because that's what God does, right? But it's what Paul did, right? Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, those are sins. We can point them out. Why? Because those are God's standards. They're against God's standards. In verse 2, he says, but we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. So God's judgment is true because he has his standards. And he has all the facts as opposed to us who usually don't. Right? And so the Bible speaks of proper judgment and improper judging. Improper is when we judge in a way that condemns people concerning their salvation and eternal destiny. That kind of judgment is reserved for God alone. I mean, we can tell people that because we are sinners, we can wind up in hell, but it's different when we're, you know, condemning people. Because he says in verse 16 of Romans chapter 2, speaking about judgment day, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God will judge the secrets of men. Again, we have to let people know that our sinfulness is what separates us from God. But again, judging what's going on in your heart is different. Okay? And the thing is, we tend to rationalize our sins. Right? Years ago, some of you, there's a couple of people here might remember. It was a saying, the devil made me do it, right? We blame him all the time. The devil made me do it. When sometimes he's like, what are you talking about? I had nothing to do with that. It was you. Right? But we not only tend to rationalize our sin, we tend to see others worse than ourselves, right? We can always find somebody worse than ourselves, right? All the time. Sure, we could. It's easy. But Romans chapter 3, we'll get to it. Paul writes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know that scripture. It's true. We were all in the same boat on the way to hell. Verse 3. And Paul writes, and do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and are doing the same thing, that you will escape God's judgment? He's saying, no way, you're no different. And again, this is people doing those same things. Verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So the goodness of God should bring people to their knees. But the thing is, people don't see the goodness of God because they don't see the seriousness of their sin. People don't believe they deserve hell. They think they're basically a good person. They don't deserve any kind of judgment. And if you don't believe that that's true, again, I've said this many, many times, pick 10 people in the next week, whether you know them or not, and ask them if they think they're a good person. That's a simple question. You think you're a good person? I'd say 999 out of 1,000 are going to say what? Yeah, well, I think I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty good. Good enough to go to heaven? Yeah, I think so. You see? Lowering God's standards. Let's do two more verses, verse 5. He says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. So he's saying here that no one gets away with anything. You know, and people say, hey, I have a great life. I do whatever I want, nothing's happening to me. Right? But Paul says they're actually storing up wrath and judgment because they have a hard heart and haven't repented of their sin. And have not turned to the Lord for forgiveness. Right? So we know. And God willing, we're going to continue this on. You know, it's very interesting with, again, just judging other people. And I just noticed as I get older, it's more and more people are cynical in the world. You know, somebody does something good, they're like, wow, that's awesome. They're like, I don't know, they must be doing it for a reason, right? Just that cynicism that there's always something evil. And maybe they have the right to do that, I don't know, but I don't like to live like that, thinking the worst of people, you know, and judging people in that way. But again, we're in a crazy time in history, in our lives, and we're in biblical times, really. They thought they were in the end times back then, so we certainly are in the end times. How close? I don't know. And maybe our life will be written somewhere. Maybe in the history books. Who knows? We don't know. But God knows. And he's still, even though we may be saved and we have a place for us in heaven, have we arrived here on earth? Have we reached that plateau? You know, that, you know what I'm saying? You know, God has saved us, right? And he is saving us, right? He's still doing the work in this. I don't know. Maybe not you, maybe me. I don't know. You know, if you don't know, ask your spouse or someone close to you. Ask them if God needs to do more work in me. Tell them to be honest. They're going to say, yeah. Absolutely. But God is still long-suffering, which is what's so cool. He still gives us mercy and grace every morning to get through. Right? Amen? Amen. Let's stand.